Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys. Once again, you guys are here in my office. There are way too many of you here. This office is a 10 by 10 room, which is filled with a desk and isn't the kind of place to do any real kind of hosting. And it's a little cramped in here, I can't lie. But you know what? Let's make the best of it. Today's show, as always, is going to be a mailbag show. You guys sent in a ton of questions, and you know, one thing, I always promise that I'm going to get to all of your guys' questions. It has gotten to a point, though, where I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer all of your questions here on this show. But as always, I will always try. There is some overlap, so that kind of helps, and I'll get to those questions as well. But one thing I'll probably start doing is the questions that I'm not able to answer on this show, I'll just throw together an extra mailbag show and throw that on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/AnthonyIrwinLA. Let's go ahead and dive in, though. I'm sure we're going to talk about Kyle Kuzma. I'm sure we're going to talk about the continued trade rumors. It was a great weekend for the Lakers. They won back-to-back in Dallas and in Oklahoma City with one game without Anthony Davis, one game without Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Danny Green. Both games they won handily. So I guess my question is, why aren't there Anthony Davis trade rumors? And why aren't there LeBron James trade rumors? And really, do the Lakers need Danny Green? So we'll get to all that here in a bit. I'm kidding, obviously. Start with the first question here. Laos917 writes, our current situation plus LeBron and AD for at least two more years, or an alternate universe where Chris Paul trade goes through, the Dwight trade goes through, good cop, CP3 convinces Howard to re-sign. Kobe doesn't tear his Achilles, and they're coached by D'Antoni. Eventually, Buss and Kupchak still get replaced with Magic and Rob, who assembled the Banana Boat Crew for one last year at the start of this year. Break down the scenario you prefer. P.S. Pineapple and ham are disgusting pizza toppings. One day, I will open the world to you guys. I promise. One day. Now, as far as the scenarios that I prefer, pretty tough to beat this current scenario. Now, the question becomes, would the Lakers have won a championship with CP3, with Kobe, and with Dwight? I think that team either wins a championship or CP3 and Kobe murder Dwight Howard and bury him somewhere in the Las Vegas desert. I don't see any in between in terms of situations here for how that's going to go. I still think I prefer this current situation just because, I'll be frank, the LeBron James and Anthony Davis tandem here, I still think they're kind of sort of scratching the surface as far as how great they can be together. And, you know, if they reach their full potential, we're talking about one of the great tandems in the history of basketball. That's how high their ceiling is. And if that previous scenario gets in the way of us getting to enjoy this tandem, give me this tandem over the other ones. But really good question, fun one. Saul the Kid writes, if you could add one player from a team currently not in the playoffs, who would you add? Ignoring the cap, if you feel like an answer, considering the cap, but everyone is still on the table. Well, the problem is, the playoff picture keeps changing on a daily basis. The 8 seed in both conferences this year might be in the 30 win range, maybe 35 win range. And so that makes it difficult to specify which player or which team would offer up this player. But, you know, off the top of my head, I'd probably say Bradley Beal from Washington. I don't have to care about the cap here. So a lineup of Beal. So I guess it would be Caruso, Beal, Green, LeBron, and AD. Or even if the Lakers add Darren Collison, because I think that's a realistic scenario here. So if the Lakers have a lineup of Darren Collison, Bradley Beal, LeBron, or no, sorry, Darren Collison, Bradley Beal, Danny Green, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, that is an impossible lineup to guard. And they're really good defensively. So Give me Bradley Beal, and the Lakers become, like, not just championship favorites this year. They become solidly championship favorites this year. and then probably championship favorites for the next probably 3 or 4 years, depending on how everything else goes in the league. That's the guy I would most want the Lakers to get. He's creative enough to carry the offense for stretches when LeBron is out. He obviously is an incredible shooter, pretty good defender. Give me Bradley Beal. He's really one of the most underrated players in the league. Let's go one more question here. Maxim McNasty, hands never ashy. It's kind of dry out there. I should apply some lotion. Hey, Anthony and Pete. I was wondering if you both think the inconsistency from Kuzma is partially due to Rondo running point, and if having a better point guard would make him a better fourth or fifth option. Also, Anthony, since you're typically pessimistic about your Vikings, can we get 30 seconds of you being happy that they got a postseason W? Thanks for the pod, guys. I saw a stat. I'll just really quickly do the Vikings thing. I saw a stat this last weekend about the Vikings that they haven't won multiple games in the same postseason since 1987. I was born in 1986. Kind of hard to be optimistic about that franchise. I will say this. I think it's going to be addition by subtraction with Ed Stefanski going to the Cleveland Browns. I think it's peak Browns to see the Vikings put up that kind of effort offensively and say, we got to hire that guy. So there's your optimism that I don't think they can find an offensive coordinator who less understood what made the Vikings successful. Give me an offensive coordinator who gets anything more out of Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in the same game and doesn't take Dalvin Cook out of the game come red zone time. And I think the Vikings are a much better team. Now, regarding Kuzma and Rondo, I think what we saw over the weekend is that Kuzma, and this is a good and bad thing. The good side of this aspect of this thing, Kuzma needs touches. He needs consistent shot attempts, and he needs time on the ball. And if he gets that time on the ball, he, you know, becomes at least serviceably effective and efficient, as evidenced by the 21 points he scored in the first half against the Dallas Mavericks and the 36 points he put up in Oklahoma City. So, like, this weekend should solidify to, you know, to the Lakers and to Laker fans, okay, there is definitely something here, right? Now, the downside to that, the bad news in that equation here is that Kuzma is never going to get that amount of time on the ball. He plays with LeBron James. He plays with Anthony Davis. Like that, there's never a situation is never going to arise where Kuzma gets that kind of usage rate, and he needs to figure out a way to be that kind of efficient with a lower usage rate. And that's why he is at the middle of these trade rumors. He shows that kind of process or promise over the weekend, and yes, that kind of promise is the kind of thing that the Lakers would obviously love to benefit from directly, but they want to turn that promise into actual production, whether that be through Kuzma figuring out a role that makes more sense for him, that he can be more efficient in, or if that is via some kind of a trade. So I think that's where the Lakers are kind of left here. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. Skyhook God writes, the Lakers should sign the guy who made the half-court shot so we can have some better shooters because I think he would be better than either Rondo or Avery. Rondo just had a really good weekend. I got to give credit to him. I kill him as often as I kill him, I got to give credit where it's due. And the Lakers don't win either of those games, either in Dallas or in Oklahoma City without the way that he played there. But again, it kind of gets back to the Kuzma thing. Rondo's not going to be able to play the kind of role that he flourished under in both of those games when LeBron and AD are back. So he needs to figure out a way to offer up that kind of value on the court when the Lakers are closer to being fully healthy. I Miss D'Lo writes, hey guys, do you think Robert Horry is a Hall of Famer? Thanks. I actually do. I really, really do. He won enough championships to where, you know, it's not a fluke that he won that many championships. He helped kind of modernize the way we think about the power forward position, and I think that's why he won as many championships as he did. he threw a towel at Danny Ainge's face. That should get you into the Hall of Fame automatically. So I think there's a case to be made here for Robert Horry, and it has a lot to do with his, not just his career itself, because his career itself was not particularly, you know, statistically impressive or anything like that. But I do think, in terms of impact on the way his position and the game was played, that is enough to get him into the Hall of Fame. Because, like, all of these stretch fours, you know, Robert Horry helped begin, get that ball rolling there, right? Him and, like, Tony Kukoc and you know, it's just kind of progressed from there. And, you know, Robert, given the number of big shots he made, big moments that he had, I'm fine with it. Given some of the other players that are in the Hall of Fame, I think Robert Horry deserves a spot there. Anthony's Puns, right? One. For the first time, I heard you and Pete talk about pineapple and pizza, and I never thought it would last a literal year. I agree. It's take on kind of its own meaning here with the show, but it's really fun. I think at some point we're going to start making merchandise for Locked On Lakers, and I'm going to make a pineapple belongs on pizza shirt. Like, just get yourselves ready for that. Two, if you could choose any three players from the entire league to put around LeBron and AD in the starting lineup, who would you choose? Make it realistic, so maybe players within the $10 to $15 million range. Let's see. Well, I would probably put Darren Collison in there, just if we're talking about value, right? Because he's going to be making basically the veterans minimum. That gives me more leeway to work around him. That group that I said earlier, Collison, Bradley Beal, Danny Green, LeBron, and AD, like, it'd be pretty tough to beat that group. Now, if you know, obviously Bradley Beal doesn't really work here because of how much money he makes, so that makes it a little difficult. But like, if I could add JJ Redick there, or if I could add any shoot 3-and-D guy, I think Robert Covington would be a good guy to throw in there just so you have some wing defense. But I don't think the Lakers are that far off from an insane lineup like that. I want to see Danny Green get more minutes. His minutes have been kind of weird this year. I want to see how Darren Collison looks if he ever does come to the Lakers. And then if they aren't going to move Kyle Kuzma, I kind of want to see, all right, what does this guy actually have? What can he actually live up to the promise that his fans purport and that he seems to think he has? And if he does, then, you know, a bigger wing who can hit three-pointers and actually tries on defense, you could do worse. Laker fanatic 601 writes, "Hey, Anthony and Pete, thanks for the awesome coverage of our beloved Lakers." Well, thank you for tuning in. "Who do you think we should cut / trade for a possible Collison signing? Is it worth signing a player that hasn't played all year? Also, I'll be in Boston rooting for the Lakers. Do you know anything about that area? Because it's my first time going to Boston. I'll continue to channel my inner Pete when it comes to disliking those MFers." Good call. So I'll go with the first question here. Who would I cut if I were the Lakers? Like, either Troy Daniels or Quinn Cook, probably. Practically speaking, you know, if I didn't have to care about chemistry, it would obviously be DeMarcus Cousins. That seems like an easy one. I think there's a case to be made here that you cut Rondo just so you save Vogel from himself, right? And the temptation to play Rondo, to continue to play Rondo when Collison shows up. But I think the way that the Lakers are probably going to go here is either Troy Daniels or Quinn Cook gets cut. As far as the Boston question, I have never been there. I have a good buddy who lives out there, and I have another good buddy out here who spent a good amount of time in Boston. I think it's kind of hard to go wrong out there. You know, just get a bunch of seafood and have at it. That would be my general approach, but I could be wrong. And yeah, always hate the Lakers, or always, man, that's going to get grabbed. That audio is going to get grabbed. Oh well, always hate the Celtics. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to finish off with the last grouping of your questions. Solar X Bear writes, Anthony, who would win in this scenario? The Lakers play a normal game against their opponent on the defensive end, but on offense, the other nine guys stand at half court and Rondo takes wide open threes from the top of the arc. Assuming the opponent is a good but not elite offensive team, Miami for example, and Rondo plays normal minutes defensively, but always comes in to take his open threes when he's not otherwise in the game. I think the Lakers win there. The one thing that I don't think I can possibly exaggerate to you guys is how good even the worst shooters are at making standstill wide-open three-pointers. I think if Rondo was to shoot in this, you know, if basically the Lakers' entire offense when he was out there would be shooting three-pointers, and let's say, you know, he plays 20, 25 minutes, let's say that's about, 30 possessions. In those 30 possessions, all Rondo has to do is shoot a three-pointer, a wide-open three-pointer that he has all the time in the world to take, then I think you're talking about he probably walks away from that having made 23 to 25 of those three-pointers. And in that case, the Lakers win pretty handily. That's more than like 2.5 points per possession, and that's like double what the league average is. So I think the Lakers win there and would happily welcome it if that's what it came to for Rondo. Never Worried 24 writes, hey guys, love the show. Really makes my night after every game. Weird question, but what do you guys think you're going to do if the Lakers beat a playoff team by 40? I think that deserves a show with Harrison, Pete, and Anthony. Again, P.S., quick reminder, Anthony wanted Noah over Howard. I don't think I was alone in that, but yeah, all the Dwight Howard takes before the season looked pretty ridiculous. and I'm happy to have been that hilariously wrong in this aspect. I don't want to make a habit of it, but you know, I say it all the time. If I criticize somebody, if I criticize a Laker, I hope that I'm wrong. And so far, Dwight Howard has proven us all wrong. Now, what would we do if the Lakers beat a playoff? Well, it depends on the playoff team. But if, like, let's say the Lakers beat the Clippers by 40, I think I would probably just drive to Staples Center and record a show of me just walking up to Clippers fans and laughing at them hysterically. Just 20 straight minutes of, hey, welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Clippers fans, and we're just going to laugh at them for 20 minutes. And I think people will get a kick out of that. So if it happens, that'll be that show. GGUCGFN writes, yo, I love the podcast and everything about it. So my question is, if you can make the best 13-man team, what would it be? Also, you have to have two of every position at least. I'm guessing this is, you know, everybody in the league right now. So I would have Steph, you know, if everybody was healthy. So if I would have Steph, Harden, LeBron, or no, Steph, Harden, Durant, LeBron, and AD. I would have Jokic as a backup center. There's my two centers there. I would have, oh shit, I didn't even say Giannis. So take that back. In AD's spot, I would have Giannis. And he would play like my de facto center. And then I would have AD and Jokic as my two backup centers. I would want Bradley Beal on that team. I'm really high on Bradley Beal, as you guys can probably tell. I would have Danny Green in there somewhere because you need a shooter like Danny Green or a J.J. Redick, one of those kinds of guys. I'm probably going to miss somebody that everybody is going to laugh at me for, so that kind of sucks in advance. But if Klay Thompson was healthy, I would want him on that team. I would want Draymond on that team as well. And yeah, I like at this point we're talking about just a hilarity of riches that nobody in like that team would beat the dream team. You guys want a hot take? There's your hot take. That team that I just talked about would beat the 92 Olympic team. Let's go a couple more questions. Bully 16 writes, hey guys, in regards to the last show on Kuzma, it's really funny to me that you never kept the same energy that you have about Kuzma's inconsistency when it came to Lonzo Ball. That guy was more awful than good most of the time, but yet you have no issue bringing up Kuzma's flaws. You always tried to find a silver lining with Lonzo Ball. The Lakers were sold a dream on Lonzo, yet whatever Kuzma gave us was found money. Just seems odd to me. I frankly disagree. I think I'm pretty consistent here. I was probably one of the lower people on Lonzo for health reasons, for one thing. His free throw shooting really terrifies me, because if you're that bad from the free throw line, not only does that tell me that you're probably never going to be that good of a shooter in general, but that also is going to limit what you're going to be willing to do on offense. He's a special defender and all that stuff. And I was 1,000,000% on board with the Lakers turning him and whatever other pieces for Anthony Davis. So I don't know. Questions like that just come across as whining. You said stuff about my favorite player that I don't like, and therefore you didn't say that same stuff about somebody else that I like less. And you hate my favorite player. No, I really don't. I like Kuzma. I think he is an interesting player. And if he becomes the best version of himself, then the Lakers get an absolute steal. I just don't know if he reaches that point quickly enough to match the timeline that the Lakers are on right now. Kay Izzle writes, dude, stop talking about the Lakers. This isn't a Dodgers pod. Or stop talking about the Dodgers. This isn't a Dodgers pod. No one cares. I don't talk about the Dodgers so that you guys can listen to me whine about the Dodgers. I talk about the Dodgers because it's a pretty solid comparison, Dodgers to Lakers, and I'll try to avoid it a little bit more, though, I guess. Show Me Your Wits writes, it seems like everyone is aboard the trade Kuzma bandwagon. Two recent Lakers opponents pose an interesting question. If it isn't guaranteed that whatever player we get back for Kuzma produces like we need, is it worth it? I was personally sad to see Sfi go, all the more so once Reggie Bullock was meh for us and then left for the worst franchise in the league. We're seeing that even Danny Green isn't as dependable as we want. So why would player X that we get for Kuz be any different? If your reasoning for not making a move is it might not work out, you will be paralyzed by your own analysis for the foreseeable future. Sometimes you have to pull the trigger and trust that that player actually works out in the way that you want. And yes, has Danny Green been what he was last year in Toronto? No, but he had an insane year for Toronto last year and still is one of the Lakers' most valuable players right now. He's probably the third most valuable player on the roster. That's a great return on investment. And yeah, it would be great if the Lakers still had Sfi, but he gets to play on a Detroit team that nobody cares about and gets to develop at his own pace. And just like with Kuz, and just like with Ingram before, and Lonzo, and even D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, once you have LeBron, your organizational timeline becomes LeBron's timeline. And with all of those young guys, and with any player that the Lakers would trade, whether it's Talen Horton-Tucker, Kyle Kuzma, Devontae Kaycock, whatever, the reason that they would turn that younger player into a veteran is so that that veteran can better align with the timeline that the Lakers are currently on. That's where we're at. Hi, guys. This is from 123LaLa456. Hi, guys. The Clippers have not lived up to expectations, such as being a historic defensive team, etc. But why aren't they being held accountable by media members for this? I've seen videos of Kawhi being rude to media. Why does it seem like they are being protected by media when every bit of Lakers news is scrutinized? I saw even Wendy and Ramona say they know they will turn it on during the playoffs like they are champions. When they aren't, how am I the only one offended by this? You aren't the only one offended by this. But look, and this is a legitimate criticism of media. The media focuses on what they think is going to garner attention, right? The reason people talk about the Lakers so often is because they know there's a giant fan base out there that is going to click on whatever it is that they talk about regarding the Lakers, no matter how factually correct or incorrect or fallacy-based the analysis or reporting even it sometimes can be. That's what's going on there. The reason nobody's talking about the Clippers is because when they talk about the Clippers, nobody gives a damn. Like, nobody cares. Like, that's how that works. It's why when they talk about Giannis, the way that they talk about Giannis is, well, will he ever get to a big market? The reason they don't talk about Giannis and how good the Milwaukee Bucks are right now is because the only people who want to tune into that kind of thing are Milwaukee Bucks fans. Now, again, that is an absolutely fair criticism. I think it's something that has really gone wrong, not just in regards to sports analysis and sports reporting and sports news media, but also societally. Like, people, Fox News exists to continue to profit off of the Republican market. CNN and MSNBC and all the other more liberal-leaning channels exist to profit on the other side of that equation. And then every so often, a debate will happen or something like that, and you'll see those slants in the way that that debate is covered or the election is covered or whatever. And that legitimately affects our society. It's terrible for our society. But that also is the world that we live in. And so asking questions like, why aren't the Clippers getting killed for the way that their season is going right now, is because even when the Clippers get killed, like, five people care about that. And then they move on to a subject that more people are going to care about. And it just so happens that vastly more, exponentially more people happen to care about the Lakers. Whew, I felt good to get off my chest. Let's call this one here, and like I said, if you guys want more episodes like this, I'm going to start answering these questions for the Patreon. That's patreon.com/AnthonyRunLA. There are three tiers. $2 a month gets you writing. $3 a month gets you writing. I read the articles basically into the microphone so that you guys don't have to read, and then the $5 a month is probably going to get you those podcasts. You're going to get the live streaming of me watching games, and then occasionally, I think after Friday night's game, I hopped on here and had a nice conversation with the $5 supporters there. That's where you can find that stuff. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.